Morning. Please rise and join me for a reading from God's Word. I'm going to read from Matthew 6, 16 through 18, and then again Matthew 9, 14 through 15, which is on page 960 of your Pew Bibles if you'd like to follow along. Oh, no. And I thought I'd be so tech savvy. Brant, you were supposed to be so proud of me. I may need a Pew Bible because my screen cleared. Okay, we're good. Fasting. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others how they're fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that it will not be obvious to others that you're fasting, but only to your Father who's unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Jesus questioned about fasting. Then John's disciples came to him and asked him, "How is it that we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples do not fast?" Jesus answered, "How can the guests of the bridegroom mourn while he is with them? The time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them, and then they will fast." This is a reading from God's Word. Thanks be to God.
Good morning again, and by the way, those of you in the band that are still here, I want to say thank you for supporting Revival. Just a great job doing that. This is the last, I'm sure some of you are going, finally, thank goodness. This is the last of a series on some of the most important topics that I think in Christianity. And because next week we're going to start this series on the History Channel. And I need your prayers for that. That I'm going to be able to carve a sermon out of these epic pieces every Sunday. So pray for me. That'll be a challenge for me, that God will help me to do that. And it should be a lot of fun. I want to talk about a topic you don't hear preached about very often. How many of you have heard a sermon on fasting? Okay, well, I'm surprised. There are a few of you. But by and large, I don't think I ever have, other than the ones I've preached. It is an important weapon. You know, Paul told us that we struggle not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, authorities, and powers of this dark world, against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. We have a women's group right now that's talking about studying spiritual warfare. And this is a nuclear-tipped weapon that we have, that we need to utilize. What is it? Fasting is abstaining from food. It's not eating. What kind of fasts are there in the Bible? Well, there's three that I see. Three kinds of fasts that I see in the Bible. First of all, there's the normal fast, which is going without food but taking liquid, taking water. This is a normal fast. And we see Jesus do that when he fasted for 40 days. Do you remember when he was baptized in the Jordan and then he was led out into the desert and he fasted out there? Of course, you can't go 40 days without water. You can only go 3 days without water. But you can go about 40 days without food. That's about how long you can go without food. And Jesus was out there for 40 days. He drank water, obviously, but he didn't eat food. And then he was confronted by Satan. That's a normal fast. Absolute fast. That's where you go without food and water. And how long can you do that? No more than 3 days, okay? The human body cannot go longer than 3 days without water. And this kind of fast is for special emergencies. How many of you have read the book of Esther? Okay, great little book in the Old Testament, the Hebrew Scriptures. And in Esther, you might remember that Haman, wasn't that his name, I think, had orchestrated that all the Jews would be killed. And he didn't realize that the queen was a Jew. And she had her uncle have all the Jews go into an absolute fast in Esther chapter 4, verse 15. Without no food, no water, and they fasted and they prayed for 3 days. And then she went in to talk to the king. And then you got to read the rest of the story. It's a great, I don't want to ruin it for you. Great story, okay? How God delivered them and destroyed their enemy. It was an emergency. It's an emergency kind of fasting. And then there's the third kind, which is a partial fast. Now, this is one that people with health problems or the elderly can do. Daniel did this, not our previous pastor, but the prophet Daniel. In chapter 10, verse 2, he went without choice food, it says. He went without wine. That must have been tough. And then he went without meat for 3 weeks. God had given him a vision of a great war, and it was so troubling to him that he went into this partial fast, asking God for revelation. And it came 3 weeks later. An angel came and said that this angel had been held up by the powers of darkness, was trying to get to him when he first started to fast, but was being held up until Michael came, who, by the way, is our warrior angel. He's the head of God's armies in the angelic world, to help this angel out and to bring Daniel the understanding. It's a great chapter, chapter 10 of Daniel. But it was a partial fast. So those are the three kinds, a normal, an absolute, and a partial. You got it? Okay, why should you fast? Well, I'm going to put up about 7 things up there. First of all, the main motivation for us is because Jesus said to. In the Sermon on the Mount, he said, when you fast, the title of this sermon, he didn't say, if you fast. He was talking to his followers, his disciples, and he expects us to fast. And in that passage, he said that we have to make sure we're doing it for the right motivation, that we're not doing it to show others how spiritual we are. And go, oh, I don't feel so good today because I'm fasting. Okay? You have to have the right motivation. You do it in secret to God. Okay? Number 2. Jesus said it's for mourning of his absence and preparation for his return. John's disciples came to Jesus and they said, how come you guys don't fast like the Pharisees do? The Pharisees, they fasted all the time, but they liked to tell everybody and show everybody that they were fasting because they were a bunch of hypocrites. And so Jesus said, well, let me tell you this. The guests of the bridegroom can't mourn while the bridegroom's still with them. You know, we are the bride of Christ. And Jesus is our bridegroom. And as long as they had Jesus with them, there was no need to fast. They were celebrating his presence. But he said soon the bridegroom would be gone. And then they would mourn. Then they would fast. You know, we don't have Jesus here with us right now. And when we fast, we need to think about that. We're mourning his absence. We're longing for his return. We're asking the Lord to prepare us for his return. Amen? Number 3, it's a spiritual exercise that's necessary for our spiritual development and growth. You know, if you want to get physically strong, you go to the gym. Okay? You start working out. If you want to get spiritually strong, this is one of the things you do. You fast. Number 4, it's a denial of our physical apparatus to make it subservient to the spiritual. I'm going to talk more about this in a few minutes. But this physical part of our body should be under the direction and guidance of our spirit, who's under the direction and guidance of the Lord. But for most of us, it's the other way around. It's the physical telling the spiritual what to do. We need to change that. Number five, it's a way to prepare ourselves for purification, consecration, focus. You want to get focused in your time with God? Fast. And earnestness in prayer. Letting God know that we're serious about this stuff. Number six, it's time set apart for God and for His desires rather than our own. We spend far enough time being concerned about our own desires, don't we? And number seven, it brings His blessing. Because Jesus said in that passage in Matthew 6 that when you fast and you fast in secret to God, then our Father who sees in secret will reward you. You get a reward for this. Not that that's the reason we do it, but it's a reward from our Father in heaven. Okay, so that's why we fast. Now, when you do fast, there's certain things that you should have as your objectives. And I think I listed about seven of those too, six or seven. First of all, personal sanctity. When we fast to discipline our body that's undisciplined most of the time. We fast to humble our soul. We fast to break our pride. We fast to mourn our sins and the sins of others. You know, you can mourn the sins of others. And we fast to consecrate ourselves for ministry to our Lord. Number two, to get God's attention. Someone says, well, I'm waiting for heaven to respond to me. No. Heaven's waiting for us to get serious. We need sometimes to get God's attention. Because He's not so sure we're that interested. And fasting is one way we can do that. You know, Jeremiah 29 says that if you seek me with all of your heart, you will find me. And fasting makes a determination, an earnestness, and a determination in our prayers to our Father in heaven. To change God's mind. Did you know you can change God's mind? About a year ago, I preached on Jonah. And they're all in our audio library on our website or on iTunes. You can go back. There's four sermons there on the four chapters of Jonah, one of my favorite books in the Bible. And in chapter 3, Jonah, remember, Jonah ran away and God had to bring him back. And finally, he got to Nineveh and he preached this message, this wonderful gospel message. In 40 days, you guys are toast. You remember that? Okay, he said, God's going to wipe you out in 40 days. And what did this pagan nation do? Chapter 3 of Jonah. They called an absolute fast for everybody, from the greatest to the smallest. And they even included their animals. Can you imagine? I can just imagine my dog Otis telling him he's not getting any water for the next 3 days. An absolute fast of the people and the animals. And they put sackcloth on the people and sackcloth on the animals, which was a way of mourning, a way of humbleness. And then they gave up their evil ways and they called on the Lord. This was a pagan nation who God was going to wipe out in 40 days. And what did God do? He saw them and He changed His mind. He gave them another 100 years. Another 100 years. You can change God's mind with fasting. You can avert judgment. You can stay execution of the wrath of God with fasting. Number four, bring deliverance. Set the captives free. Sometimes Satan has such a hold on situations and people that they will not yield to normal prayer. And fasting does something for us. It gives us an edge in intercession. It gives us authority and power over the powers of darkness. It tells the enemy, you must let go now. One time, Jesus was coming off the mountain, and he'd been up there. Remember, he'd been up there with John and Peter, James, and they were up there, and they got that wonderful, they got to see Jesus in all of his glory. Remember that? And he was coming down from the mountain, and the disciples had been down there trying to cast a demon out of a man's son, and they couldn't do it. Mark 9. And Jesus walks up, and he's just, and this man says to him, if you can do anything, would you help us? Now, can you imagine saying to Jesus, if you can do anything? And Jesus looks at this man, and he says, if I can do anything, everything's possible to him who believes. Everything's possible to him who believes. And then he casts the demon out. And then later the disciples, they gathered around him. They said, well, why couldn't we do that one? And Jesus said, this kind only comes out by fasting and prayer. Number five, for revelation, like Daniel. Daniel had gotten this vision. It was about a war in the end of time. And it was so overwhelming. He couldn't understand it, and so he went on this partial fast without wine and meat and delicacies and for 3 weeks, and then God gave him the revelation. I find for me, when I fast, that often I get a revelation from God after I fast. It doesn't happen while I'm fasting. For me, it happens after I'm fasting. Not always, but sometimes. And then finally, to break the lust for food. Church, I don't know about you, but I'm in bondage to the lusts of the flesh. Doug Waite is in bondage to the lusts of the flesh, especially food. I find it very hard to say no to those seconds. I find it very hard to not eat between meals. I find it very hard to stay away from those delicacies. And I'm sure I'm the only one, right? We are in bondage to the lusts of the flesh. And our physical body is a spoiled little child. There's few of us in this room. I had to be careful in my first service because we had some of our African brothers and sisters there. But there's few of us in this service who have ever, truly ever experienced true hunger. What we experience mostly is that whining little child inside that says, feed me, feed me, feed me, feed me. And fasting tells that little spoiled child in us, get your act together, get in line, and listen to the Spirit of God. So important. So, how do you begin? Well, if you were going to start jogging, I wouldn't tell you to start doing 5Ks, okay? If you were going to start a physical training program, I wouldn't tell you to start lifting heavy weights over at the gym. I'd tell you to start working up to it, right? Go run a block. Okay? Start with 20 pounds or 10 pounds. All right? Not 100 pounds. And that's the way it is with the spiritual things, too. Start small. Start with a partial fast. Give something up. This is Lent. This is a great time to give things up for the Lord. Give something up for Lent. Something that you like to do, that your little spoiled child likes to do all the time. Give it up for the Lord. For a time. Do it for a meal. Do it for two meals. Elderly can do this. But by the way, I would say for those of you that are elderly, those of you who have health concerns or medications, please consult with your physician. Okay? Please consult with your physician. But most everybody can do a partial fast. Then try to do a normal fast for a meal. Now, when I miss a meal for the Lord, I try to focus on Him, and I take the time that I would spend eating, and I try to talk to the Lord during that time. Okay? If it takes you, how long does it take you to eat breakfast? Okay, 5-10 minutes. Take that 5-10 minutes and spend it with the Lord. Work your way up. Get so you can do two meals. Get so you can do three meals. And by the way, stop caffeine a day or two before, because you don't want to have a big caffeine headache when you're fasting. Little tip, okay? Because it'll ruin it for you. So get that caffeine headache out of the way while you're still eating. And then fast, and you won't have that headache. I try to fast one day a week. I try to fast after dinner on Tuesday night, and the little child within me wants me to eat double, okay? And then I try to go three meals on Wednesday and break my fast on Thursday morning. That's 36 hours. Now, I wouldn't recommend you start doing that. Work your way up to it. And during those times when I'm supposed to be eating, I try to spend time with the Lord and talk to the Lord. I've had the Lord call me on to longer fasts. Let's bring up that book, Michaela. Thank you for helping me. This is the best book I've ever read on this topic. God's Chosen Fast by Arthur Wallace. And Arthur will tell you how to go longer. I have friends that have gone a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and longer. You can actually go about 40 days before you actually start starving. And he tells you how to do that. But you want to make sure that you're called to that. Okay? That's like Olympic stuff. Okay? I haven't ever gone that far. I've gone a few times. The Lord has taken me about 5 days. A few times. And I can tell it's Him calling me. And I'm usually hungry the first day. But then after that, I'm not. It's amazing. It's supernatural. And I can go the rest of that time with no hunger. It's God. So, start small and work your way up. I'm going to tell you one little story to close. The power of this stuff. Like I said, this is a nuclear-tipped weapon in your arsenal. Gail and I were stationed in Washington, D.C. during 9/11 with two of our children. May was there too. And right after 9/11, if you can remember, we had the anthrax. Do you remember that? Okay. And then after that, we had the sniper. Do you remember that? The sniper, and this was this wonderful tour in D.C., okay, that we were having. And because I'd just gotten back from the Arabian Gulf and terrorists. So I moved to D.C. to get away from them, and that's all I had the whole time I was there. So I was at Coast Guard headquarters. I was the deputy chaplain of the U.S. Coast Guard. I worked for Secretary Mineta, the Secretary of Transportation, who was the head of the Coast Guard, and Commandant Loy, who was one of the 5 Joint Chiefs of Staff. Admiral Loy was the head of the Coast Guard, and I was his chaplain. And everybody was scared out of their brains with this sniper thing. Do you remember when they killed the lady at Home Depot who worked for the CIA? Do you guys remember that? That was 2 blocks from our house. Everybody was scared out of their brains. You would pump your gas like this. You'd run from the house to the car. There were no joggers anywhere in D.C. It terrorized us. I finally got fed up with it. And I went to the commandant, and I went to Secretary Mineta, and I said, I want to call, U.S. Coast Guard headquarters to a day of fasting and prayer. And they both said to me, go for it, chaps. So we had this whole second floor of Coast Guard headquarters, and we just opened it up, and we called everybody in the Coast Guard to this day of fasting and prayer. And we had people, we had admirals in that room, we had seamen in that room, we had civilians at every level in that room all day long. And we fasted and we prayed that God would end this thing. The next day they caught him. The next day. And I think that we had something to do with that. I know there were a lot of people at a lot of places praying. But the next day, folks, there's tremendous power. Band, would you come and lead us in our closing song? There's tremendous